Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, June 29th, 2020. This morning I will talk about holiness. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Holy and eternal Father, we praise you for your mercy and grace through Jesus Christ, who died for our sins before we were even born. We confess that you alone are holy. From our mother's womb, we have tried your patience and even now come to you with blood-stained hands. Forgive us in our rebellion against your covenant and against your Son. In the power of your Holy Spirit, cleanse our hearts and minds that we might become fit stewards of your mercy and grace to those among us who have not heard the good news or who have rejected it on account of our sin and folly. Draw us to yourself today across the gaps that separate us, that we might have new life in you this day and forevermore. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In Matthew 5:8, we read, "Honored are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." God is holy. We are not. Our attention with God starts with guilt over this holiness gap. This gap, which is more of a chasm, points to our need for Christ, who is our bridge to our holy God, being both holy and divine. The Greek word for pure means to be free from moral guilt, pure, free from sin. The expression pure in heart appears only in Matthew 5:8 in the New Testament, but it occurs in the Old Testament. Who shall ascend to the hill of our Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. This is Psalm 24:3-4. This psalm tells us how to worship in the temple in Jerusalem. In view is the holy code of Leviticus, where God admonishes us many times to be holy, for I am holy. This is Leviticus 11:44. The expression pure in heart is incomplete in the English translation. The Hebrew word for heart means inner man, mind, will, heart. That includes emotions, but also things not included in the English. For example, immediately following the Hebrew prayer, the Shema, in Deuteronomy 6:4, we are commanded, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." This is Deuteronomy 6:5. That emphasizes the unity of heart, mind, and spirit through repetition. Jesus repeats this reference in Matthew 22:36-40, where he commands us to love both God and neighbor. The sixth Beatitude's promise of seeing God, if we remain pure, is also a promise of forgiveness, salvation, and the opportunity of ministry. Seeing God figures prominently in the call stories of Moses, Isaiah, and Ezekiel, whose experiences parallel that of Paul. Paul is blinded by the light of heaven, an allusion both to God and to the call of the prophet Ezekiel. As unholy and mortal beings, seeing God blinds us and threatens our very existence. The promise of seeing God is also a promise of restoration of the relationship with God, first seen in the Garden of Eden. It also anticipates heaven, as prophesied in the last chapter of the book of Revelation. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be on it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. This is Revelation 22:3-4. Holiness is the mark of God, not only on our foreheads, but also on our souls, as we read in Genesis. Now Abimelech did not approach her. So he said to the Lord, "Will you kill an innocent person? Did he not say to me, 'She is my sister'? And she herself said, 'He is my brother.' In the integrity of my heart, in the innocence of my hands, I have done this." Then God said to him in a dream, "Yes, I know that you have done this in the integrity of your heart, and it was I who kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I will not let you touch her." This is Genesis 20:4-6. Abimelech speaks directly to God, who works in his heart to keep him from sinning, even though he is both a Gentile and not a believer. Seeing Jesus, a friend of sinners, value and teach about holiness is indeed ironic, as we read, "For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say he has a demon. Now the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look at him, he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by all her children." This is Luke 7:33-35. Still, the sixth beatitude anticipates our conversion and commissioning, much like that of the apostles. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. This is John 20, verses 21 to 22. The call of the apostle clearly required a purity of heart, which the Holy Spirit brought within their reach. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.